The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, what a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. I have two special guests for this show. Joining me in the studio is Celeste Austin, director of the special programs at the Living Room Program here in Sonoma County, whose mission is to ease adversity and promote stability, dignity, and self-reliance for women and children who are homeless, at risk of being homeless, all here in Sonoma County. Wonderful, wonderful program. Also joining me in the studio is Deborah Hammond, who has recently retired from her position as professor of interdisciplinary studies in the Hutchinson School of Liberal Arts at Sonoma State University. And she will be talking about the Sonoma County Climate Change Activist Summit that happened. Remember, I announced it last Monday at the Peace and Justice Center. Man, it really turned out to be very, very successful. A shout out to Emeril, who does all the public relations, and I just want to say hi to her. I know that she's listening. And if you remember, last week I had Linda Hemingway on, and she mentioned that those who were interested in sending a thank you note to the two women senators, Susan Collins and Senator Lisa Murkowski, who voted against the health care bill, that Supervisor Shirley Zane was going to Washington, D.C. on some business for Sonoma County, and she would deliver the letters directly. Well, when I went home, I wrote like crazy, got the approval from my board, and gave Supervisor Zane one letter to give to each of them, and signed it as president of the Sonoma County chapter of the National Organization for Women Now. And I want to read the letter to you. I think it's very important as women that we acknowledge what these women did. So I'm going to read the one that I sent to Senator Susan Collins, and I also send the same one to Senator Lisa Murkowski. Dear Senator Collins, on behalf of the Sonoma County chapter of the National Organization for Women, I want to thank you for voting no on the three health care plans proposed by the Senate GOP. I can only imagine the pressure you experienced voting against a bill that 50 of your colleagues supported. I know it took a lot of courage and commitment to do the right thing. I am very proud of you for taking a stand to support Planned Parenthood and to encourage a full debate on this important issue. It has been almost 100 years since women got the vote. It was their vision then and our vision now that having women involved in the decision-making process, a more well-rounded perspective would take place, and our most vulnerable, our children and the elderly, would be protected. By taking the position you took, demonstrated not only how far we have come, but the importance of having women in politics. It is our hope that you and your colleagues will explore a single-payer system which will enable all Americans and their families to have health care, all the health care that we all need. Wishing you life's greatest blessings, good health, peace of mind, loving relations, and continued prosperity. Sincerely yours, Elaine B. Holtz, President, National Organization for Women, now Sonoma County Chapter. Yes, I'm very proud of that letter. Thank you. And, you know, folks, if you have any comments or you want to get a copy of it, we're going to post them on our website, www.womenspaces. But you can always write me at Elaine@womenspaces, remember, two S's in the middle, .com, and let me know what you think. You know, let me know what you think. I have to tell you something. I'm going to be interviewing Celeste Austin, and she was so kind. She invited me to do a presentation at the Living Room on self-esteem. And what ended up happening is there's a young woman that was there, and she was debating the word self-esteem versus self-love. And we've started a dialogue together. And I want you to know, want people to know how inspired I am that young women can come forward. You know, I'm 77 years old. I mean, I'm about trickling out here. But we need the younger women to come forward and learn from all of us, learn our history. It doesn't mean you have to do it the way we did it, you know, but it really helps if we get to know one another. And one thing that this young woman, her name is Star, said that really impacted me, she said, "Thank you so much for all you did, because I didn't have to deal with the self-esteem issues that you had to deal with." And that really touched me, thinking, yes, we've come a long way. And again, we came a long way where two women stood up. And also, we have to do a shout-out for Senator John McCain. You know, and I think that he got a little bit enlightened when he had that surgery. And all of a sudden, he saw if he did not have health care, if he did not have nurses and doctors attending to him, the man would not have survived. So thanks to all three of them. Well, another exciting thing happened on Friday. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, it was so emotional that I just can't even express it the way I felt. I want to do a shout-out to the group, especially to Anna Salgado, to Evelina Molina, and also to Kathleen Finnegan and Concha. I don't know Concha's last name, so forgive me. And I want to thank him for getting it all together and the mural for Andy Lopez that was housed in the Roseland, over by in Santa Rosa on Sebastopol Avenue in the old Albertson Shopping Center. It was change. And I'll tell you something. What really inspired me about this is because there's finally some truth out there. There's finally some truth of how hurt and how frustrated the community has been. And one of the most beautiful things that happened is there was a letter that came from Andy Lopez's mother. And when I heard it, because I met her about, I think it was not less than a week after Andy was shot. And I remember that I looked into her eyes and I said to myself, God, anything but that. Anything but that. And I remember one time my grandson was on a jungle gym and he went all the way to the top. He was about 4 years old and he's screaming, "Gamma, look, I can fly, I can fly." And all of a sudden he comes flying off the jungle gym. I mean, it looked like a space cadet. And I threw myself on the floor and I said, "Oh, great spirit, anything, take my eyes, my limbs, and don't let anything happen to this child." And, you know, of course he landed like a little cat. You know how they are. They get you all shook up and then all of a sudden they're flying in the air and then they land like a cat. But that's as close as I can remember to feeling that feeling of, oh my God, if something happened to that child. So just imagine what it must have felt like when Andy Lopez's mother got that phone call telling her about her son. I mean, that's the thing that stays in my mind and that's the thing that has kept me motivated. Well, she was not able to come. You know, she's still feeling emotional, but she was very proud of what the community did. And so what she did was, is she wrote us a letter. And I thought I would read that. Boy, this is letters of the morning day. And I thought I would read this. So this is from Andy Lopez's mother, Sergio Lopez. I hope I don't start to cry, but I'm just going to go with my feelings. "I wish I could be standing with you, but it is not the time, not physically. I will not ask for understanding of my pain, because I really do not want you to even try to imagine it. I only know that everyone knows, as a parent, the immense love that one has for their child. And I'm sure everyone understands this. I am very grateful to all of you who are here, your great struggle, effort, and sacrifice, who day by day to seek justice in memory of my beloved son. And the name in all of us who are still alive. I am so proud of all of you. To me, you are like angels on the earth who encourage and strengthen all of us, especially me. I ask you not to give up the fight. Every achievement, this is so great, every achievement is a step forward on this path of justice. In my heart, I am always with you. And when God helps me to be with you physically, believe me, I will. I am proud of your great work as a community and in brotherhood to others. I repeat, you are angels on earth. Keep raising your voices high. Make your voices and yourselves be heard. And we all have rights. No one is more than anyone. We are all equal with the same rights in this country. Use any any opportunity to advocate for justice, for the rights of others, for the dignified life we all deserve to have in this country and in this world. Let us make change, starting with ourselves, raising our voices for a better world. I am eternally grateful on behalf of my family and my angel, your angel, Andy. God bless you all, and a big hug for each one of you. Signed, Andy's mother. Very touching. Very touching. You know, and as you know, one of the things that I have said over and over when I would go to the Board of Supervisors, I would go to the City Council, and we would go to all the meetings with the Andy Lopez Task Force, and I would ask one question at the end of each session. I would ask the supervisors or any people on the task force, if this was your child, what would you expect from your community, from your trusted leaders? So, lots to think about. And I want to do a special shout out to Mario Uribe from Art Start, who is the artist, that he had an open heart and an open mind. And I encourage folks, go down to the old Albertson Shopping Center on Sebastopol Avenue here in Santa Rosa. And if you look on my blog, I will have on my website, www.womenspaces.com, we'll have the exact address. But go down and look at that. For the first time in my experience with this Andy Lopez situation and what happened, this is such a heartbreaking thing. It's the first time I really see a statement of power and a statement of truth. We have got to come together. No justice, no peace. It's a hard thing to swallow, but it's a true statement if ever there was one. Okay, so I wanted to say one last report. Oh, we were really busy. Ken and I attended the 20th Annual Progressive Festival, and it was a good time. Got to meet a lot of my listeners, and a special shout out to all those who worked so hard year after year to make it happen. Amazing what a community can do when they work together. I want to end this segment on a positive note, by the way, because so many good things have happened. And as activists, we tend to dwell on the negative instead of looking like, hey, we've had some accomplishment. You know, we've got the letter off to the two senators who voted against the health care. We were all sitting in our seats just trembling, thinking we were going to lose the little bit that we had. But they came across very, very powerful. The Andy Lopez situation, where it was changed. The wonderful, wonderful Progressive Festival we had, you know, listening to the mother who is feeling comforted, that as a community that we are comforting her, and also to look at how people stood up. You know, women who don't normally speak out said, no, this is not right. This has to change. And it changed. And it just felt so good. I was a little bit disappointed, though. You know, I hope to see at least one or two dignitaries, like from the City Council, from the Board of Supervisors. But, you know, I think it's hard. I think it's hard for people to really admit the tragedy we had in this community and the work that we have to do. You know, a child is a child. A child is a child. A child is a gift. You know, I see all these things on Facebook. So-and-so became a grandmother. So-and-so became a great mother, first-time mother. All these cute little babies, you know. I love Ed Sheffield. I'm watching his kids, his two boys, grow up on Facebook. I just love it. It gives me a warm, fuzzy inside. Every child deserves the best life has to offer. And if we make decisions, if we encourage our trusted leaders, because we vote them in to serve us, to take care of us, to make sure there's some equality and some fairness. I ask them to ask one question before they make those important decisions. And that is it good for the children? If it's not good for the children, let's not do it. Because if it's not good for the children, guess what? It's not good for the future. So there's a lot to think about. And one last thing before we go to a musical break, the Sonoma County Gazette is out on the street. Special shout out to Vesta Copen. How do you pronounce it? Copesakes. for getting out another paper. I mean, I don't know how this woman does it, and the honor of allowing me to write, to do the Santa Rosa snippets. I hope you folks are enjoying the column. If you have any information, any little bit that you want to get in, you know, just always email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. I'm always happy to call you and see if it's something that I can accommodate for you. And the most exciting thing, remember we had the glyphosate guest on, and then I also interviewed Carrie Fugit from a conservative action group here. Well, guess what? Carrie and I wrote a article together for the Sonoma County Gazette, and folks, it made the front page. Oh my God, I'm on the front page. I couldn't believe it. I was so excited. But anyway, that's a lot. So it's on the street, and go ahead and get it. And again, email me, write a letter to the editor, say, wow, what a great article. You know, become involved. No matter how you do it, whether it's writing a letter to the editor, making a phone call, or just saying hello to somebody, or giving a buck to some homeless person who's on the street. You know, to give is really to receive, and we need to start thinking about that. So, that's a lot to report. And like I said, I wanted to end this segment on a positive note. So I'm playing a very special song. It's an old Patti Page recording, but it's not Patti Page singing. It's done by a woman by the name of Anna Marie Kaufman, and it's called A Good Day. It's a Good Day. And when we come back, we will be talking with Deborah Hammond, who has recently retired from her position as professor of interdisciplinary studies in the Hutchison School of Liberal Studies at Sonoma State University, and she'll be talking about the Sonoma County Climate Change Activist Summit that happened Monday. Special shout out to the Peace and Justice Center for hosting something like this. So let's go and let's hear It's a Good Day. And if you feel like dancing, hey, be my guest. Yes, it's a good day from morning to night. I just love that song. We were kind of bopping it here in the studio and just kind of waking up Monday morning. I mean, it's just amazing. For you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members are of Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest here in the studio, Deborah Hammond. Welcome, Deborah. Welcome to Women's Spaces. It's a good day having you here.
It is a good day. Thank you, Elaine, and thank you for inviting me, and thank you for those letters, both very inspiring.
Thank you so much. Good to hear those,
and I'm glad to know they're going to be on the website.
So I want to, before we go into the interview and before we talk about the summit, I'd like to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Well, Deborah Hammond recently retired from a position as professor of interdisciplinary studies at the Hutchins School of Liberal Arts at Sonoma State University. By the way, I graduated Sonoma State.
All right.
Where she has been teaching since 1996. Both her teaching and research, she is concerned with issues of social justice and ecological sustainability. She completed her doctoral work in the history of science at the University of California at Berkeley, focusing on the history of systems thinking. Boy, that's an interesting topic.
Yeah, fascinating.
She also served as graduate coordinator of the Organization Development Master's Program in SSU, Sonoma State University, which trains practitioners to facilitate participatory processes in public, private, and nonprofit organizations. She also served as graduate coordinator of the Organization of Development Master's Program at Sonoma State, again, which trains practitioners. I'm repeating myself. I'm sorry about that. She was involved with Sonoma County Solidarity with Standing Rock since 2016. Anything else you'd like to
add? No, that's plenty. That's a mouthful. Huh?
Yeah, it is. It's a lot. But one of the things I asked my guest to give a short bio, and I cannot believe, how can you put in 150 words your whole life experience? So thank you so much. Well, Deborah, thank you for coming in this morning, especially on such short notice.
My pleasure.
And to come to the studio. Yeah. I know it was a little bit of a trek for you, but I really, really appreciate
it. That's fine. It's kind of fun to be here.
Yeah, it is. Listening to you, it's a good day. Mm-hmm. It'll kind of get your energy going. Well, let's talk about, this is very interesting. My dear friend Emeril, I saw her yesterday at the Progressive Festival and actually really thanked her for all the good work. She sent me the information about the Sonoma County Climate Change Activist Summit, which I thought was very, very interesting. I'm sorry I did not attend. I had hurt my eye, but I was so happy that I could get you. So talk a little bit about the event. What is the mission of it as you know it? And why was it important?
Well, the Climate Change Activist Summit was organized by Occupy Sonoma County, and Emerald was facilitating the whole group. It was co-sponsored by 350 Sonoma, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of background about who was there and how they put it together. About 2 months before the event, they sent out emails to a number of different groups asking them to endorse the event. So I've been working with, as you said, Sonoma Solidarity with Standing Rock, which is working to support efforts to stop the pipeline and kind of divest from fossil fuels. So we were one of the groups that was approached by Occupy, and so we endorsed it. The groups that endorsed it were included Our Green Challenge, Resiliency Coalition, Sonoma Solidarity, my group, the Green Party of Sonoma County, Climate Change Major Disaster Campaign, the Sierra Club, Green Mary, who works with recycling waste. Probably you all know her.
Before you go, I got to give you a little gossip.
Okay.
Ken, my partner, was actually at the meeting when they named Green Mary, Green Mary.
Oh, that's
Mary Minot,
great.
When they named her
that's
the name of the business, Green Mary. I just thought I'd just throw that in.
I have another little piece. She was a student of mine in a course I taught on systems thinking and how to think about complex systems. So I feel like I have a little part in her life.
Well, you did.
Yeah. So other endorsers included the CAF, is that California Association of Family Farmers, and Sonoma County Farmers Guild, North Bay Jobs with Justice. Those were the groups that endorsed the
event.
Where
were the Democratic and Republican parties?
Well, wait. Those were just the ones that endorsed it.
Okay.
So when they actually held the event, there were it was a potluck from 6 to 7, which was great because it gave everybody a chance to sort of get to know the folks that were there. And And then from 7 to 9, we were in a big circle, and Emerald did an amazing job of facilitating that many people. There were 70 or 65 people by her count. I'm not sure if that's exactly the right number, but...
No, I'm asking you to just look at me.
Oh, okay. Sorry. And there were 25 different groups attending.
Wow.
So after the potluck, we all sat in a big circle, and Emerald went around and said, "What? Who's here?"
Well, before we go into that,
yeah.
Why don't you tell us what your motivation for being there? I mean,
yeah.
You seem so excited about it. What was the kernel that you felt was so important that you had to be there?
The reason I want to list up all these groups is because for a long time I felt like we really needed to create an environment where, or a context where all these different groups that are working on related issues, whether they're environmental sustainability or social justice issues, how do we know what all is going on in our community? Because there are a lot of people doing amazing work in Sonoma County and beyond. And there's not an easy way to find out what these other groups are doing. And I think that was the purpose of this event, really.
Were you surprised to find that there was that much activity going on in the county?
Well, not really, but I was really excited to see all these different groups coming together and having a chance to sort of learn what each person in each group was doing and create a stronger connection between
these
groups.
Why don't we do this?
Groups.
You know, you give me the groups and we'll list them on our website. Because
okay.
It's a little bit difficult to do all 25 right now. So give us an idea of what took place. So I know that one thing they wanted to make sure everybody introduced themselves. So explain the summit. Tell me
what we first did was went around from group to group. So a representative from each group had 5 minutes to talk about the group, what they were doing. So we went around to the groups first, and then the second round was really people who had come as individuals, whether or not they were affiliated with the group or a particular effort. So everybody had a chance to speak. One of the most interesting people at the end was a ninth grader from, I believe he's from Annaly High School, and they're doing a Schools for Climate Action campaign.
Ninth
and they're
grade?
Working with school boards, PTAs also working with them, and they're working with school boards throughout the whole county because, as they're saying, climate change is a children's issue. They're the ones who are going to be, you know, most impacted by the changes that we're going to see in the next several years. So,
boy, I would love to have them, someone on the show, a young person. Like, I really find that our youth has been activated.
Right. Yeah.
Really, really.
Yeah, that would be great, actually.
So I could feel your general feeling was that of excitement.
It was. I think everybody was really excited about being there. At the end, Rebel Fagan, who also works with Occupy, kind of asked for a show of hands how many people would like to do some kind of follow-up. And almost every hand went up. This event was on the 5th Monday. And he said, so why don't we meet on the 5th Mondays, which is a day and time that Monday evenings that people don't have regular events scheduled usually.
So they're going to have another summit?
So there's going to be a follow-up summit. The next 5th Monday is October 30th.
Oh, my God, the day before Halloween.
I know, right? All the spirits will be out.
Well, what did you walk away with? What was some? I mean, here you are. You're an educator. You've been involved with sustainability for a long time. You know, you work with the Hutchinson School, which is really a very creative experience. Mm-hmm. I remember I graduated Sonoma State.
Right.
So what did you walk away from the summit? What did you think was important?
I appreciated hearing from all of the different groups. We had somebody from CAF, as I mentioned, and he was talking about sequestering soil. And one thing that he said was when Columbus came to the U.S., that the percentage of carbon in the soil was 6%. Now it's less than 1%.
Wow.
So just learning about that, which was something, I mean, I've read a number of books that have come out recently and articles about the importance of putting carbon back in the soil. So I was glad that piece was there. There were also people that the North Bay Jobs with Justice around waste management and making sure that whatever company Snow County hires to take over the waste management is going to be socially responsible as well as environmentally sustainable. So to sense that sort of cross-fertilization that was taking place within all these different groups and between them, it seemed like so often, because we're all so busy, it's easy to get lost in our own little kind of circuit.
But you also realize you're not alone.
Oh, no, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And when you think of our community, and
right.
then you think there's probably 10 other communities out there that are doing
right.
the same thing. So it gives you, a lot of hope.
Yeah.
Well, overall, what was the feeling? What was the consensus of what was accomplished? I mean, I know the one thing you're saying is that the fact that we all got together and we all got to understand what we're doing.
Right.
But what else do you think was accomplished?
Well, I think what I wrote down in my notes was it was really kind of an introduction, a beginning of sort of taking countywide collaboration to a whole new level. And I don't want to forget to mention that the Center for Climate Protection, which started out as the Climate Protection Campaign and has been working at the city and county level for, I think, at least 13 years, they are hosting a series of information meetings in August of this month, 17th, 24th, and 31st, to introduce a kind of a fellowship program. It's a climate action training. It's going to be a six-week training. It will be on Thursday evenings, six Thursdays in a row, and then there'll be an all-day Saturday retreat that is going to be sort of putting together an initial fellowship of people who want to be really effective.
Can anybody go?
Anybody can go. That's why I mentioned the information meetings. Yeah,
well,
it's free.
Leave the information with me because I can put it on the website, and also I'll be happy to announce it as it comes close, as each thing,
mm-hmm.
because maybe, I mean, these are some important things. Well, we're coming to the end of our segment. I know time goes by quickly when you're in the studio.
Right.
So tell us a little bit. I know you mentioned that they're going to have this trainings, and we'll get the information from you and make sure the KBBF is aware of it.
Right.
And also, you know, follow up, are there any websites people can go to?
You know, I looked this morning at the Occupy website. there's not really a whole lot there. So I feel like we're just starting to sort of build out some kind of a framework for linking people up more effectively. The Center for Climate Protection, I couldn't even find a link to information about the information meetings. So I would give people the website for the Sonoma Solidarity with Standing Rock group, because we're trying to put a lot of information up there. It's just sonomasolidarity.org.
I have to throw something in here. I'm really sorry that I wasn't there, and I definitely want to go. I mean, it was just terrible to have this eye thing.
Yeah.
But
it was inspiring.
What I think is so important, one of the steps it has to take, is there's got to be a way to communicate with each other a lot better. Because we all have to help with each other's web. I mean, there's so much to do that sometimes it's just overwhelming. Well, any last thoughts you'd like to share with our audience before we end this segment?
I had recently gone to see Al Gore's new film, The Inconvenient Sequel. And actually, a number of people who were there speaking there had several people speaking after the film and dialogue with the audience. And several of those people were at the climate summit. So it feels like there's a growing energy that's emerging in the community to build stronger coalitions so we can really be more effective.
Well, I'm very excited about this. And Deborah Hammond, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming in and for being such an activist
well,
and for, you know, coming out of retirement. And here you are still doing your thing.
Can't really
I want to
stop,
thank you. Thank you very much. And a special shout out to all the folks that put this thing together, especially, you know, with Emeril and Sonoma 350 and yourself and all the people that joined. I mean, it's an amazing thing. You know, if you read the snippets, I have a little thing that says, think about this. And one of the things is never doubt what a small group of people can do. I mean, they change the world. I mean, and that's what we're doing. We cannot wait for our politicals to do it. We have to start gathering and put pressure on them. So once again, thank you so much, Deborah Hammond, for being such a great, great guest. I mean, really, just it just gives me the chills to think about it. Anyway, we are going to take a musical break now, and when I come back, I'm going to be talking with Celeste Austin, who is the Director of Special Programs at the Living Room Program, which is a special program for women who are homeless or are potentially going to face homelessness. And what we're going to do is I'm going to play, I haven't played this song, and I listened to it the other night, and after I did the training or the presentation on self-esteem at the Living Room, that's what I felt. I felt that the whole organization is just welcoming women to the circle, welcoming them, giving them support, giving them love, giving them compassion and understanding for the situation they're in. You know, there's an old saying, judge and you shall be judged, or there but for fortune go you and I. You know, it's really sad the way we judge things. You know, everybody needs a chance. Everybody needs to be cared about. And when watching what the Living Room has accomplished and the beautiful place they now have, I'm really honored to be able to interview Celeste. And this song, I think, really paints the picture of what the Living Room is all about. So let's go ahead. It's called Come to the Circle with Betsy Ross. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Celeste Austin. You know, it was very interesting when I was at the Living Room last week after, I believe it was Tuesday afternoon, and had lunch with them, and that's how I felt. I felt like they were welcoming this woman to the circle, you know, to help, to support, not to judge, but to help and support. And that's what we should be all about as a human race, to help one another, love one another. Love really equals support. That's very interesting. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and without further ado, I want to introduce my guest in the studio with me, Celeste Austin, who's the Director of Special Programs at the Living Room Program. Welcome, Celeste. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
It's an honor to be here.
Well, I'm an honor to have you here. I just thought, Celeste, how long? We just met a few years ago, you know, and it's just like one of these people, like you two people meet and say, hey, hi, we've known each other all our lives. Who knows? Well, let me tell my listeners a little bit about you, Celeste. You know, you have quite a background. In fact, I was really impressed to find out some of the things that you wrote to know about you that I had no idea. Celeste Austin is currently the director of special programs at the Living Room Program in Santa Rosa, California. She has 25 plus years working with various nonprofits and has been with the Living Room for almost a decade. She has a BA in Multicultural Studies from Sonoma State, an MASW from San Francisco State. Well, that's two out of two, Celeste. I went to Sonoma State, and I also went to San Francisco State. She has an MSW from San Francisco State and an AA from Santa Rosa JC in psychology. And then she writes in parentheses, I ain't no spring chicken. Well, I don't know about that, but that's okay. She recently received some recognition from the AAUW, which was called the Unsung Heroine of Sonoma County, and it was included in the Press Democrat series, Sonoma Gives, and in the Luther College Alumni Magazine. Austin 73 finds footing helping others to find theirs. Actively involved in various social justice causes, including homelessness, LGBT, Black Lives Matter, NAACP, and women's rights. Well, welcome, Celeste. Anything else you'd like to add, my love?
I think that's plenty.
Oh, no, it's really. So anyway, talk a little bit about how did you get involved working with nonprofits? I mean, what was the first, where your first, your big toe got into it? What, how did that happen?
Part of my story is this, that, you know, I kind of fell out of the loop here of living and working for a while. And so I got into recovery, and that's a strong piece of who I am, and that included getting back into life. So I started doing a lot of volunteer work here in Sonoma County because, you know, my skills were a little limited. I was bright, but I didn't have a lot of job skills. And so I really want to give a shout out to women who do reentry, because it was at the JC through their reentry program that I really started to, you know, get back on track.
Another thing we have in common, remember, I reentered at 30, went back to school, also had a background where, you know, the first 30 years of my life, pretty rough, but after, once, you know, like you said, you had that inspiration and decided to move forward, there you were.
And it started off by volunteering. You know, just doing some community service, and nonprofits were open to training and open to me coming in. And from that, it grew into a paid work, and it grew into work where I got more responsibility. And now I work at this great nonprofit called the Living Room Program. I want to give a shout out to the women and the staff who are over there who may be listening, and to their struggles.
Well, talk a little bit about the Living Room. Talk about what their goals are, their mission, and you know, what, how do they get their funding? All kinds of different things that we can share with the audience.
Well, the Living Room is a 501c3, and we get a lot of our funding through just hard work and through our board and through fundraising, through churches in the community, through individuals who donate specifically to our program. We get a little bit of money through the county, so we don't get a lot of what people refer to as government funding. So we work hard at raising money, and we're blessed to have folks out there in organizations like the Rotary and, you know, and like I said, a number of churches and a hardworking board that we raise a good majority of the money that we need for managing our programs. Most folks know, you know, we are the only daytime drop-in center for women and children here in Sonoma County. And we believe and know that women have special needs. We have a women and children's program, and so women need a safe place to come, and children need a safe place to come and play and get healthy and participate in normal activities. We have a wonderful mother and children's program. So, and then we work on food scarcity. You know, that is an issue in this country, and food scarcity is something that we combat every day by providing two nutritional meals, along with, you know, counseling, a lot of groups. You came to our Building Self-Esteem group.
Well, I want to interrupt you here. Just talk a little bit. I mean, from what I'm hearing from you is a lot of the women that come have specific challenges, especially having children. Talk a little bit about those challenges, and how do they make their way to the living room? And what, how do you get the women to come, and how do you, because there were 25, I think there were almost 30 women for the lunch program when I went there. I was really actually surprised at how many people were there.
And that was a small number. We can have as many as 75, 65 people there for lunch in particular. So, again, food scarcity, it's word of mouth. It's other referrals that other agencies that refer women to our program. 211 refers agencies. We have a broad base of supporters out there. So people in our community, so refer and encourage women to come on down. You know, we moved about 15 months ago and opened up our new site, which you mentioned.
Oh, beautiful.
It is. It's real special. And that has been empowering for the women. And that has been a place of respite and a place of safety and beauty. You know, just because you're unhoused or living in a car or staying in a car temporarily or what's turning out to be long term, you can come to our program, which is your program. It's not our program. It is our program, and have some, you know, some comfort and to have some safety and to get some of the things you need.
Well, you know, oftentimes people judge someone who's homeless, they say, oh, you know, they're not responsible or whatever, you know, maybe they have mental illness problems. You know, there's always this judgment. And I did not see that. I saw some pretty healthy, you know, women that I would consider my neighbors, let's put it that way. What are some of the issues that bring women, especially women with children, into being homeless? I mean, that to me, you know, when I grew up, you know, you heard about the hobo. Right? You heard about, you know, that was your homeless person. But now, when you think of women with children, how is that happening in our culture?
Easily. It's happening because we have a pretty severe housing shortage here in Sonoma County. It's happening because women are still experiencing domestic violence issues. Women are experiencing health crises. You know, you can have a health crisis in this country, and it can really push you back. You end up losing pieces of your health, you lose income, you lose sustainability and stability, you may lose your home. And all of that can lead to homelessness. Yes, you saw women who look like us in many ways. Educated women, women who've had careers, women who, you know, are bright. And, you know, we have those women who are in our program. And we also have women who are really struggling in other ways. Of course, mental illness is a key component to people becoming homeless, the decision making that people are trying to do, how their brains are working, chemical imbalances in different forms, all can lead to different ways of making choices that may be not good for your long-term benefit. So there are multiple factors. And the thing that we want people to understand is that there is no, like, type model of what a homeless person is today. We have to start really expanding that. We have to look at it. There are some commonalities. You can read the latest 2016 homeless census report that was done, and you will see demographic information because folks are interested in that. And at the same time, you know, we always have to remember these are human beings. These are real live people who are in a struggle of not having something that I believe is a human right. It is a human right that people have a home, that people have health care, that people have food to eat. Those are basic rights that every human being, not only in Sonoma County, but all over this country and all over this world, should have.
Oh, I agree with you. And you know, what is so amazing to me is when I was in the room, the feeling that I had, that there was a level of comfort. It was almost like a break from all the struggles that are going on outside. And I felt very, very inspired by that, to be honest with you. And also, I want to ask you a question. You know, we talked a lot about, you know, when I was there on Tuesday, and also because I'm having this dialogue with this young woman, which is
awesome.
I mean, it's just fascinating to me. You know, I'm going to go on her blog, and I mean, I mean, her name is Star, and in the tarot, I'm actually the Star. I mean, it's so interesting.
But she's the Star.
Oh, she is absolutely the Star. She is just. I mean, because we're talking, you know. We're talking about self-esteem and we're talking about self-love. And, you know, I know for myself, you know, I went through a period of time, you know, if you would have told me you got to have self-love or self-esteem, I probably would have bopped you. You know, I said, what are you talking about? Life is so miserable. There's no hope here. And yet at some point, you know, somebody kind of turned me around in my thinking. And so I look at the whole idea of self-esteem. You know, what does it mean? And my thought is, you see so many women coming in. What do you think it is that they end up meeting this crisis? Some can make it and some just, it's just devastating too. What do you think is the difference? What are you observing in the different women that come in?
Well, one of the things that you had an opportunity to be a part of and witness was our Building Self-Esteem group. And we have other groups, too. We have a writing group for women. We have a meditation group that's been coming in for many years, an expressive arts group that's very therapeutic. And you can, it's not the words you can come up with. You can talk about your feelings through art. Beautiful. So one of the things I've observed is that the women who participate in classes tend to be working towards something. You know, the bigger goal is, one of the goals is to find housing or safer housing. Of course, housing first is a very important mantra, a very important charge in our community right now.
I could not imagine in my wildest dreams being homeless.
And and you're blessed not to,
right?
But there are so many people out there who are.
That's what's so
and
sad.
There's the thing that gets a little hard about this, not to say that people get comfortable, but they may lose hope. They may get resigned that this is just what is happening in my life right now, that finding a place to stay or being in a shelter that is going to move me to the next level, not just housing individuals in the interim. And some shelter programs in this county certainly do work in the next phase, transitional housing, your own place. But the women who tend to move forward may be have a skill set. That they are able to navigate that system better. They're able to get applications in. They're able to work with other organizations. They're more motivated or stable in some ways. But, you know, what the emphasis is on housing in Sonoma County, one of them is working with the most vulnerable individuals who are homeless, the chronically homeless, those people who've been homeless for over 3 years, those people who are in encampments or in cars. And our safe parking program just went through some major changes. So with individuals like that, it really takes a real strategy and a consorted effort to work with individuals. I see people do well in shelters, and if they don't move to the next level, because of economics or because behavior or because they get tired or it just doesn't work out, then they're back out on the streets.
Well, do you think that has because on some levels they start losing hope?
I think, you know, part of that is losing hope. Well, it takes some discipline. It takes some perseverance. It takes some motivation to keep moving forward. You know, it reminds me of when I went back to school to get my master's degree. And I thought it'd take 2 or 3 years, and it had taken over 6 years. And the thing about it is I said to myself, you know, I had to keep my eye on the prize. And we have to keep our eye on the prize, our goal, and to continue to move forward and to accept some of the help that's out there, make some of the changes that we may need to make. So it's a personal challenge, but it's also, you know, having systems there to support you along the way. Rapid rehousing, you know, monies that help people get into housing. But here's the deal. The living room also helps people maintain their housing, help them sustain themselves while they're in a place. Because most of that money's going toward paying the rent. But you got to buy diapers. You got to keep the PG&E on. You got kids that need stuff. And the Living Room is a wonderful organization, along with other organizations and churches in the community, that provide those secondary items and things that people need.
Well, you know, Celeste, there's no joke here. We know in order to keep the program going, we need that little green stuff. So tell our listeners how they can support you, what your website is, and if they can come, do you have visits? I mean, I think people should go down not only just to look at the facility, but actually to look at the face of women, women who have children, and really recognize that
and we have... And the senior women, right, and the chronically homeless women, and the ones that are harder to, like, maybe make that connection with. Mm-hmm. And you can do that on the streets of Santa Rosa. You can do that when you drive by someone, and you can at least look in their eyes, say hello, you know, decide what you want to do. But absolutely, supporting the Living Room is key. It's essential to the sustainability of our program. And we have some new ideas of some things we want to do to help in this housing first model. So that's always donations. We have a really active volunteer coordinator. You can call up and ask for Katie. You know, you can call up or you can go on our website. We do tours, or we do have people come in and do tours. And we've been blessed this year with some great stuff, and we're looking to do other great things.
Do you have a website?
Yeah, it's www.thelivingroomsc.org. Find us on Facebook. I hear that we also, you can find us on Twitter. You can find other people there too. So there's social media ways. Really hit us up on Facebook and just, you know, join our community. The Living Room is a community. It's a community of women and children and their family and their male counterparts who are part of our Living Room family. And that's the thing about our program. We realized when people got housing, they still needed that connection. Some people may go on and be okay and be just fine, but we are a community within a community.
Well, Celeste Austin, I want to thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces and giving us such insight into not only the homeless issue, but what some of the women are experiencing. And also, again, folks, you know, one of the things that I do, I have a rule. If anybody walks up to me and asks me for something, I always give. I feel that this person is sent. You know, you kind of have in your mind, how do you do this? You know, it's hard to sometimes pull up, you know, on the street, but it's easier if someone walks up to you. So start thinking about it. You know, the website for the Living Room will be on Women's Spaces. If there's any way you can volunteer, you can help, go down and take a tour. You know, I think once you go down and you see what they've done and what they've accomplished, and I mean, I remember when they were on the church on Mendocino Avenue, and this facility, I mean, it's like women are coming home. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you very much, Celeste Austin, for being with us. Well, special thank you again to Celeste Austin, Director of Special Program at the Living Room Program here in Sonoma County, whose mission is to ease adversity and promote stability, dignity, and self-reliance for women and children who are homeless or the risk of homeless here in Sonoma County. And a special thank you to Deborah Hammond, excuse me, who recently retired from a position as a professor of interdisciplinary studies in Hutchinson School of Liberal Arts at Sonoma State University. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.